Thank you very much, Steve, for giving us this opportunity to present to all of you and other colleagues and opening up to the network I'm going to talk about, this aqua crop model, which is a field crop model to predict yield response to water. The people that you will hear this morning is during the different presentation is just part of a core group of an extended network of scientists that is contributing to the development, testing, and calibration of this model. Steve already have indicated the background why we arrived to this aqua crop model. So I just add that this is part of an activity in the agriculture water management program of the Land and Water Division in Rome. And recently the FAO has been revising and reviewing some of the milestone papers of the irrigation and drainage series. It was done already the 24 of Dorenbos and Pruitt on crop water requirement, and then translating, updating into the 56 of Allen et others. And then one that is under revision is, in fact, the yield response to the water that gives the now the name also to this symposium. During the revision, we go through a series of consultative processes. This is not yet finished. There are continuous upgrading and consultation going on. But one of the recommendations that was given to the revision is that we needed to keep separated the herbaceous crop from the tree crops. And for the herbaceous crop is where we started to develop this relatively simple modeling approach that is takes the name of aqua crop, while for the trees and vines we will go through a guideline type of approach. So what I'm going to focus now is on the model of aqua crop. I will give basically some background on the conceptualization, on the philosophy behind the model, and then you will hear more details as the other presentation during the morning will proceed. I need to say that the aqua crop evolves from the FAO paper 33 in the sense that they both look at the relationship between yield and water consumption. So essentially the solar radiation remains the driving force for the productivity as well as for crop evapotranspiration, and the paper 33 was looking at that relationship, yield and crop evapotranspiration, through the KY factor, which was introduced in that equation already mentioned by Steve, that relates the relative yield losses to the relative reduction in evapotranspiration. And what aqua crop is trying to do is to separate this yield in the biomass component and harvest index, as well as to consider separately the transpiration and the soil evaporation, but still looking at the relationship that links the biomass to transpiration. In this way, we avoided the confounding effect of the non-productive consumption of water from the soil evaporation and possible stress that can occur in a specific stage, pre-anthesis, during the anthesis, and in post-anthesis. So we look at that relationship, which is already well known how robust and conservative it is, and we use the parameter water productivity. So the aqua crop looks at that relationship, don't use any more the original equation of the 33, and moves into a modeling approach in a dynamic way using daily time steps. The framework is similar to many other models, which is it looks at the three components, the soil, the crop, the atmosphere, plus some of the management on top of it. Let me then enter in a little bit more in the details of this component. Concerning the atmosphere, the aqua crop has a component called the climate, which basically handles the data that comes as any other model from the weather condition, which is the rainfall, the temperature that influences the crop growth and development, the temperature that together with other weather variables like solar radiation, humidity, and wind speed impose an evaporative demand of the atmosphere on the crop. And then, in addition, it takes in consideration the CO2 concentration as one of the variables that influence the crop growth and productivity. Concerning the crop itself is where probably we have a specific distinctive feature. We have, idealized or conceived the crop as a developmental stage through its phenology and the canopy cover, along with the deepening of the root. Essentially, the crop is reduced to this measured expression. Phenology, canopy cover, we don't use the leaf area index, and then the deepening of the roots. Within the canopy cover, we focus on three major physiological expressions. The expansion rate as one of the most sensitive to water stress, the closure, of course, of the stomatal conductance, and the senescence. We confine so the expression basically of the response to water essentially to these three physiological expressions. So the temperature from the climate influenced the phenology through the classical growing degree days, and in fact aqua crop runs both in thermal time or as well as in calendar time. Then from the evaporative demand, depending on the availability of water and the balance in the soil, we have a consumption of actual evapotranspiration, which is considered or modeled separately between soil evaporation and crop transpiration, and that that transpiration, through the water productivity, gets translated into the biomass, and then biomass to the harvesting that gets translated into the final yield. As you can see, not only we don't use leaf area index, but the percentage of canopy cover, but also biomass is decoupled from the other, from the canopy and from the root. So this is maintained, the partitioning basically of the biomass is not considered in this model. So there are a decoupling there. And between canopy and rooting deepening, there is a functional, let's say, relationship. Of course, as I said, also the CO2 influence then the productivity and the growth of the canopy. Just a little extra information on the canopy cover. This is expressed in the phase of full development is divided in two parts, the exponential growth until reaching half of the full development, and then the decay in the second part, so that we have this sigmoid. Then there is a period of time in which we more or less can variable that can maintain a certain full or maximum, not full necessarily, maximum canopy cover, and then there is, during the senescence phase, the decline. These are the classical theoretical equation of exponential growth and exponential decay. In particular, the water productivity parameters, which is expressed as the amount of biomass per unit surface, per unit of millimeter of water transpired, is represented into the aqua crop as normalized for climate, which is, it takes in consideration the normalization for the evaporative demand of the atmosphere, EDO, but also the CO2 concentration, which refers to a specific year of bulk concentration in the atmosphere. Now the derivation to arrive to the normalization is a little bit complicated and can bring too much time. For those that are interested, we have the poster this afternoon, number 439, that also addresses the normalization. Here is just to indicate that by the normalization, we are conferring to the model a sort of extrapolability capacity to the water productivity parameter in terms of space and time. Here is just an example of relationship between biomass and cumulative transpiration for different crops, and the slope of which represent the water productivity parameters, which is experimentally derived and then given into the model through the parameter. Here is the same relationship, but normalized for the evaporative demand of the atmosphere, showing that few crops groups together in one single slope, and that is another element of robustness, let's say, of the model, because few crops can be grouped in categories that are, you know, containing more than one crop. Going back to the component, the soil is more instead classically the one that is considered as a storage, and we have a profile with different layers. Each layers can be described with this physical characteristics, texture in particular. We can add also some hydraulic hydrological variable like saturation hydraulic conductivity or field capacity, wilting point still are used, but they can be also derived by the model, calculated by the model on the basis of the information of the texture. In the root zone is where we make the classical soil-water balance. There is associated salt balance is not yet implemented. This is an ongoing work, the building up of the final model, but there will be also the salt balance. So what we have is also calculation eventually of the runoff by the curve number if we want. There is irrigation also with the runoff. Within the root zone, we consider the infiltration, the redistribution, and the uptake. And beneath the root zone, we may have a capillary rise and deep percolation. Outgoing from the crop, we have the soil evaporation and the transpiration. So depending on the water status in the soil, we can have this development of stress, which is captured by a factor called KS, which is going to influence the basic physiology that we have indicated before. The expansion of the canopy, the conductance, the senescence, specific case addressing the harvest index, and in extreme case also changing the slope of the water productivity. So this is an important element of the stresses that takes in consideration the expansion, the senescence, some of the most sensitive to the water stress. In particular, I would like to tell that essentially, especially for the one considering concerning the canopy, they are done by the classical approach. I mean, a stress factor that is adimensional, changing from zero for for full stress to one for non-stress, which is a function of the relative water content in the soil. There is a threshold that triggered the stress, and then an expression of the way it develops, basically. There are different rates depending on the sensitivity of the process, but the approach is the same for stomatal conductance, and of course we'll have different threshold and different way, different rate of development, and for senescence. It has to be considered also that although the KS is related to water content, still may take some adjustment depending on the evaporative demand of the atmosphere, so that the soil plant atmosphere continuum is somewhat considered in the expression of the stress. Going back to the last component, the fourth component of the aquacrop, the management, we look at field management and in particular to fertility level and field surface practice. I must say that at the moment, and we don't think we will consider that aquacrop will make any nutrient balance, but the user should indicate the regime of fertility that is the system is exposed to, non-limiting or poor or moderate. Concerning the field surface practice, we look just at the mulching and soil bands, which influence respectively evaporation, soil evaporation, and runoff. For the water management, we use aquacrop for both rain-fed and irrigated condition. Under irrigation, we may have user-defined scheduling, timing and depth on the, by the user, or model-generated with the classical preference in if on fixed interval, on fixed depth, or percentage of readily available water content. And then the methods are all three. When you put together all these components, the flow chart of aquacrop looks more or less like this, where the green, the bluish part is considering everything that is related with the water, the balance, and from the climate. What is in green is concerning the crop, which is simplified into the phenology, the canopy cover with the tree expression, biomass, harvesting, the final yield, and brownish is the soil part with the roots, fertility, and the red are the stresses. So I would conclude a little bit in this exposure, let's say, to aquacrop by saying that is we think is explicit, mostly intuitive, and maintains an optimum balance between simplicity, accuracy, and robustness. Differs from other models being mainly water-driven, only water-driven, and for its relatively small number of parameters. Of course, within the spirit of FAO is aimed at the practical end user, as those in farms and irrigation association, extension services, governmental agencies and NGOs, for devising water management and saving strategies. Aquacrop is also aimed at planners and economists who need estimate of production for given amounts of water in given environment. Of course, we don't exclude the interest of aquacrop for scientific purpose or for teaching purpose. not to neglect the capacity of or the suitability of aquacrop also to be used for prospective studies like climate change scenario. What I would like then to conclude is that we had this opportunity, thanks also, of course, to Steve for this symposium, because we were basically expanding with this network to arrive finally to a prototype. Now at least there is a version that starts to be functional, that can be used, and we would like to indicate that the network is opening, you know, enlarging, and for those that are interested in contributing to the aquacrop development, testing, and calibration, please do not hesitate to contact me, and you are very welcome. And thank you very much for your attention.
We have plenty of time for questions. So let's see what we have from the audience. Do we have any questions from the audience? Yes.
What sort of software system is this embedded in? There's been a lot of discussion in the crop modeling community moving towards interchangeable modules.
Yeah, I think what we started to work is with the what's the name? I forgot the Delphi. Oh, sorry.
Delphi.
All the time I keep forgetting Delphi, because of the you know, library. You have to consider that we have doing this. We have started this specifically from the user and from the let's say developer point of view, but not software type. Once it reaches a certain degree of, let's say, satisfaction, then it can be, because this will be open source and can be translated in any other programming language that you would like to. But at the moment, it's really at the prototype level for the conceptualization translated into processing.
Yeah, I think it's important to indicate also, I don't think this effort is to create yet another cropping system model.
No.
Right.
Yeah.
So
that's also yeah. No, Claudio is right. I mean, Claudio has been with many others I see in the audience, in fact, contributing to the aquacrop, and I think he's one of the people also to be contacted eventually for.
What are the weather inputs required? You said it's practically
useless. Yeah. The basic one at the moment remains the one that are used also for determining the reference evapotranspiration, like in the paper 56 of FAO, which is temperature, relative humidity, solar radiation, and wind speed. Of course, in addition to that, there can be the CO2 concentration, which anyway is taken by certain reference station of given years. It's not something that has to be measured at the weather station. So in that book also is provided, let's say, the way of deriving those variables when you don't have them available. So you can have at least the temperature. I mean, the minimum data set that you can have is still welcome. But of course, you depart from what can be the calibration, let's say, procedure. But generally, I mean, the minimum available so far, that's fine. Because you need to have an ATO and a temperature and the rain, basically. So the ETO is the problem. If you have enough variable to get the reference as Penman Montif, that's fine. No, basically we have two level of influence. One is on the water productivity parameters. And this is, there is a sort of theory behind that has been developing for how to relate the water productivity to the CO2 concentration once you have at least a reference of CO2 on which is known the water productivity, then you can estimate a different other CO2 concentration. And that's why I was saying this is now is a little bit more complicated. If you want, we can see at the poster session, or I can give you some reference or talk after the session. The other one is the influence on the growth of the canopy. So those two are the one, but they are not all fully implemented yet. But at least for the water productivity, we have a better idea how to implement that.
Thank you. Thank you.
Thank you very much.
There are plenty of questions, I'm sure, but we'll wait till break and maybe we can mix and mingle and do some there.
Thank you very much.